Section 1. Teams. Chapter 2. Building the Team. A team is any collection of people that functions together to perform a mission or collective task. Army Doctrine Publication, ADP 6-22. Army Leadership and the Profession. 31 July 2019. Categories of Teams. The Army is a team of teams, squad of squads. These teams may be permanent or temporary, internal or external. For the purposes of this handbook, think of permanent teams as those assigned to the unit that you work with every day. This may be your traditional squad, or it may be the platoon leader, platoon sergeant, and the squad leaders. A temporary team is a group that is selected for a specific mission, and after said mission, the team is disbanded. Examples include a team that is put together to write a standard operating procedure, SOP, or plan an event for an organization. Internal teams. Internal teams are comprised of leaders, soldiers, and Army career professionals who are assigned to a specific unit or organization. They do not contain anyone from outside of the organization. Internal teams are the most common. Internal teams have leaders who have formal leadership authority. External teams. External teams have members from different organizations, cultures, or agencies, or have backgrounds or bring specific knowledge, skills, and attitudes to the team. When building an external team, leaders may have the ability to select members of the team, or at least the organizations that will provide personnel to the team. External teams are usually designed to solve complex issues. High-performing teams. Trust is the glue that holds organizations together, lubricates friction, and permits empowerment. Lieutenant General Retired Walter F. Ulmer, Jr. 50 Years of Thoughts on Leadership. Cavalry and Armor Journal, January through March, 2019. Building high-performing teams takes hard work, patience, and the interpersonal skills of the leader. Most leaders do not have the benefit of selecting their own team members. They get what they are given and have to determine how to make it work. So how does one build a team that performs at a high standard and can incorporate new members on a recurring basis? Teams that perform at a high level share certain characteristics. These characteristics are listed below and expounded upon in ADP 6-22. Team members trust each other and are able to predict what each member will do. Members work together to accomplish the mission. The team executes their tasks thoroughly and quickly. The team meets and exceeds standards. The team adapts to demanding challenges. The team learns from their experiences and develops pride in their accomplishments. Team developmental stages. ADP 6-22 states that teams experience three developmental stages: formation, enrichment, and sustainment. We will discuss each stage and how leaders can guide their team through each stage. Formation. Leaders must be able to evaluate and assess the skills of newly assigned personnel and quickly integrate them into the team where they can bring the most value and be successful. The formation stage has two steps: reception and orientation. As stated earlier, leaders do not normally have the ability to select members for their team based on skill set or personality. Later in this chapter, we will discuss how to build teams when the leader does have the ability to select team members. Reception. Ideally, reception starts right after a soldier is added to the gains roster and assigned to a position. The leader selects a member of the team as a sponsor and contacts the new soldier to welcome them to the team. When selecting a sponsor, the leader should select someone who is fully committed to the team and exemplifies the organization's values. The sponsor should be required to complete either the sponsorship training requirements in the Army Learning Management System, ALMS, or the Electronic Sponsorship Application Training, ESAT. Ensure like gender, marital status, grade, and leadership positions are taken into consideration when assigning sponsors to the fullest extent possible. With new collaboration tools available on government systems, consider using video chat tools to meet with incoming soldiers. This will expedite their integration to the team and shorten the orientation process. See Appendix C of Army Regulation, AR 600-8-8, the Total Army Sponsorship Program, 28 June 2019 for a sponsorship checklist. Orientation. Orientation begins when the newly assigned soldier arrives at the new duty station and meets the other team members, learns the layout and schedule of the workplace, and generally understands conditions. If the soldier has dependents, include them as much as possible when meeting the team. Remember, the Army re-enlists soldiers, but retains families. Leaders should assess the incoming soldier to determine their skills and best fit within the team. Candid discussions are the most effective way to accomplish this critical step. Soldier expectations and goals must also be a part of this discussion and will help determine specific assignments and roles for the soldier, as well as the norms for the team. Though not required, having lunch or dinner or other social outings, such as a hail and farewell with the soldier and their family, helps integrate them into the team faster and on a richer level. Orienting them to the area, both on and off the installation, helps them acclimate faster to their new assignment. Orientation is the first step where the new team member will meet their team face-to-face. This will leave a lasting impression. If done poorly, team members will have more difficulty in becoming an effective team member and will not rapidly internalize its values. Enrichment. Dedicate effort into molding your soldier to be what you need them to be. Staff Sergeant Gabriel Christensen, 16th Combat Aviation Brigade, CAB. The enrichment stage for a squad is different from a temporary or situational workgroup team. A squad will not have an entirely new group of members at the same time. Most members of a squad are already committed to the team, unless they are newly assigned to the team or the team is rapidly assembled. The enrichment phase is where the team strengthens relationships with one another and builds trust and commitment. New members begin to trust their leaders and peers, along with themselves. Newly assigned soldiers begin to buy into the team, embrace the culture of the organization, and acclimate to the squad. The squad or team establish goals. For example, 100% of the squad should earn the Expert Soldier badge. A different squad may be comprised of a company commander, a first sergeant, an executive officer, and the training room clerks. Their goal may be to pass a command inspection. During this phase, new soldiers on the team should be getting comfortable in their role and how they add value to the team. They should be more likely to articulate their needs to better fulfill their role in the organization and share with the leader how they see themselves progressing upward within the organization. While the new soldier is beginning to trust their peers, peers are also beginning to trust the soldier. Team members develop accountability focused on the team rather than on the individual. The team begins to feel accountable to each other and accept accountability for the team's actions. As team members develop accountability and trust, they feel more commitment, which leads to cohesiveness, and members proudly proclaiming, "This is my squad." Sustainment. Once squad members reach the sustainment phase, they will do what is needed with little to no direction. Team members are confident in their abilities and motivated to overcome obstacles to complete the task at hand. Leaders should pay close attention for signs of complacency, especially during routine tasks, to ensure that bad habits do not become the new standard. Managing conflict is important during any phase of team building, but it is especially critical during the sustainment phase. Complacency from some team members will cause conflict. When members fail to perform up to the established standards and norms, it breaks the trust within the team. The leader must step in and resolve the conflict to restore trust and accountability. This handbook covers conflict in more detail in Chapter 3. Factors affecting team performance. Many factors affect team performance. Composition, size, group norms, and cohesiveness all play a role in the performance of the team. As mentioned earlier in the chapter, in most cases, leaders will not be able to select the members of their team. Choosing members normally only occurs if the team is temporary in nature. In these cases, there are many considerations for selecting the team members or the organizations providing members for the team. The issue or problem the team is trying to solve is a major factor when considering the composition of the group. Different problem sets will influence which members should be added to the team. Composition. Group composition refers to the homogeneity or heterogeneity of the members. If a group is homogeneous, the members are similar in ways that are critical to the group. This could be the branch or military occupational specialty, MOS, rank, age, education, or cultural background. This applies if the similarities are relevant to the topic on which the group is working. If a group is heterogeneous, they differ in ways that are relevant to the topic at hand. Homogeneous groups are likely to be more effective on a simple task when cooperation is necessary, the group tasks are sequential, or the task requires quick action. Homogeneous groups tend to have less conflict, better communication, and more interactions within the team. The risk of having a homogeneous group work on a complex problem is that they may not fully examine the task they are trying to accomplish and arrive at a quick, but not well thought out, solution. Heterogeneous, diverse groups tend to be more productive when tasks are complex, require cooperation between organizations, require creativity, and prioritize thorough discussions over speed. Heterogeneous groups tend to have more discussions, which lead to more conflict. This is not necessarily a bad thing if the conflict is constructive, as it can enhance the group's decision-making. A heterogeneous group working a simple task can take more time than necessary because of the conflicts that arise from the discussions. Group size. A team can be as few as two people and as many as can effectively interact and influence one another. Team size has an enormous impact on team performance. If a team is too small, members may not have the expertise or experience needed. If a team is too large, social loafing may occur. Social loafing is the tendency of some members to not put forth as much effort in a group situation as they would if they worked alone, and instead rely on other members to pick up their slack. When this occurs, there is normally conflict that the team must resolve. This will occur from either the other team members, which is preferred and indicates a high-performing team, or the leader, who must step in and resolve the conflict. Group norms. When forming an external team, group norms are usually established early during the enrichment phase. Group norms refer to the standard against which appropriate behavior is judged. Norms can be either productive or counterproductive. Group members will usually follow the norms, even if it results in a negative outcome. Group norms are enforced for only those actions that the group sees as important. High-performing groups obviously will have productive norms. Norms serve four purposes in organizations. They help the group survive. They simplify and make more predictable the behaviors expected of group members. They help the group avoid embarrassing situations. They express the central values of the group and identify the group to others. Group cohesiveness. The extent to which a group or team want to stay together is referred to as their cohesiveness. Cohesiveness is created by the attraction of the group, the resistance to leaving the group, and motivation to remain a member of the group. Cohesiveness relates to the internal group dynamics of maturity, homogeneity, size, and how frequently the team interacts. External forces can also increase a group's cohesiveness. Factors like competition or the presence of an external threat. Successfully completing a task, goal, or mission will also increase cohesiveness within a group. If the team's goals align with an organization's goals, cohesive teams are productive and beneficial. However, an excessive amount of cohesiveness can lead to some issues within a team. Groupthink is one issue where cohesiveness and the desire to have a unanimous decision is more important than thorough and critical analysis of alternative courses of action. Groupthink occurs when individuals set aside their personal beliefs to achieve consensus with the group. Emotional intelligence, the ability to express emotions and perceive emotions, as well as the ability to understand and use those emotions in a positive manner, also promotes group cohesiveness. Informal leadership. Most groups or teams have a formal leader appointed by an organization. An informal leader is another member that the group looks to for leadership. It may be because of referent or expert power, rank, or some other factor, such as subject matter expertise. The informal leader can be a positive factor that adds to the group if they work in the best interests of the organization. If they are counterproductive, remove them from the group. Roles and responsibilities. Team leaders and team members each have responsibilities to fulfill in all phases of their life cycle. The role of a team leader is to provide guidance, instruction, and direction to the team to achieve a common goal.